You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is Thursday, November 2nd, talking Orioles baseball today with Brittany Giroli, our O's reporter for MLB.com. Brittany, we thank you for the time and what we're doing today on this first day of the offseason, which is still kind of hard to believe, is looking ahead to the O's prospects for the 2018 season to see if they can get back into the playoff mix. But first of all, just want to kind of get your thoughts on the just concluded Fall Classic, and classic it was, as it goes seven games for the second straight year. And the Houston Astros, their first ever world title in franchise history, outlasting the Dodgers in seven games as they win game 7-5-1 in L.A. Brittany, just kind of give me your thoughts on game 7, about this crazy World Series as a whole, and about living in a world where the Astros, for the first time ever, are the world champs of baseball.
I thought it was great, you know. I mean, honestly, I thought going in that the Astros had a chance. I know everybody thought that their bullpen wasn't going to be as good. But I thought that they were kind of the hotter team, being that they came off such a tough series against the Yankees. It seemed like the Dodgers kind of weren't challenged until the World Series. And that's always a little bit of a problem, as you've seen in years past. Teams with the momentum seem to be the teams that end up winning. I was really happy for them as an organization. I think if you're an Orioles fan, you have to kind of look at what they've done and say, okay, what can we do better? A lot of those guys are homegrown guys they drafted. The veterans they put in pieces around them, McCann was a great sign. And you have to look no further than some of these guys that they were able to get and plug in, like a Charlie Morton, who really made a lot of sense for them. So I think if you're the Orioles, you're watching that and saying, what do we have to do to get better? We have to strike out less. The Astros were a team that constantly put the ball in play. You have to draft and develop and not miss. And that's what the Astros were able to do. And you saw it a couple of years ago. You saw the talent potential. You just weren't sure if it was going to come together. And it did. I mean, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, and you brought up a great point, too, about the two paths that the teams took to get to the Fall Classic, whereas the Dodgers just steamrolled everything in their path. They swept Arizona. They took care of the defending champs, the Cubs, in five games. I mean, it was easy breezy for them. The Astros, meanwhile, they go up 2-0, lose three straight on the road in the Bronx, and look pretty bad in doing so. They had to win, two elimination games, including, obviously, a Game 7. How much of a decisive factor did that play in the fact that maybe they were a little more playoff battle-tested than the Dodgers were?
Yeah, I think it played a lot into it. I mean, you look at both of these teams, and certainly every team over the course of the season has to overcome adversity. But to me, watching that Yankees-Astros series, watching the way the Astros had to rally and win those games to win that series, it just seemed like they had the momentum. And, you know, maybe on paper the Dodgers were a better team. Maybe they did have a better bullpen. But I think the Dodgers had that momentum. They had that energy. They had that, hey, we can't lose. You know, even if our backs are against the wall, we can win these series, because they had already done it. And I think the real turning point was them winning Game 2 in L.A., because up until that point, neither team had lost any of the postseason games at home. So for the Astros to win that Game 2 and pull that off, I think just gave them all the confidence in the world, knowing, hey, we can do this. We don't have home field advantage, but guess what? It doesn't matter. We can win here. I think that's really when the whole series kind of shifted a little bit, was that Game 2 win in L.A.
Yeah, I think the whole series turned on one pitch. That was the Kenley Jansen pitch to Marwin Gonzalez, which tied the game, and it just flipped the series on its ear. L.A. was that close to going up 2-0. They probably win the thing if they're in that position. They weren't. It was 1-1 going to Houston, and it all worked out for the Astros. First-time world champs, so hats off to them. Brittany, getting to the task at hand as we look ahead to the Orioles' chances in 2018, what would you say right now is the biggest area of need for the Birds, and how do you think they go addressing that need? Do you envision a trade, a free agent, a guy from the minors? What do you think?
Well, look, they got to get starting pitching. They got to add at least two, probably three or four guys, because, you know, they only have two pitchers right now in their rotation, Dylan Bundy and Kevin Gausman. And all year the problem for them was starting pitching. And there's not a whole lot prospect-wise when you look in that minor league system. So I don't think they can rely on that. They didn't have a whole lot of depth at AAA. There's no guy who you're like, oh, maybe if he makes this giant step forward. The problem last year was the Orioles didn't get pitching, relied on the group they had to perform at or better than what they were the previous year, and it failed miserably. So they've got to go out. They've got to sign guys, trade for guys, whatever it is, it's going to have to come from outside the organization, and it's going to have to be meaningful if this group is going to make a run at it.
Yeah, that is priority numero uno for the front office in the offseason. There is no dispute about that whatsoever. Brittany, on the flip side of things, what is the thing that O's fans can feel the best about with their team? What is the biggest area of strength right now?
I think probably when you look around position player-wise, they're not in that bad of a situation. Certainly, they lose shortstop J.J. Hardy, but they have Tim Beckham. They've got Jonathan Scope, Manny Machado, Chris Davis when you go around that infield there. They've still got Adam Jones out in center field. So the nucleus is good. Now, the window is certainly shrinking. They've got a large group free agents after this season and an even bigger group, those that are still left, 2019. So as well as Orioles manager Buck Showalter and executive vice president of baseball operations Van Duquette, who are also up with contracts at the end of this year. So I think you have to feel good about the nucleus of this group. Similar to what we were saying a year ago, it's just going to depend on can they pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. And with regards to those position players that whose contracts are coming up, of course, the biggest one, Manny Machado. O's fans don't want to see him anywhere else but manning third base in Baltimore. We'll see what the future holds for Manny, whether he stays in Baltimore or moves on. That's going to be a huge, huge thing for this team to contend with in the next year or two. Brittany, give me two players right now. One guy that is a possible candidate for regression in 2018 based on maybe overperforming a little bit in 2017. Then on the flip side, a guy that maybe had a down 2017 and is a possibility to bounce back in 2018.
Oh, man. I don't want him to have a regression. I would hope not, but I think Trey Mancini, who had a fantastic rookie year for the Orioles, would potentially be a guy who could come down a little bit in his sophomore season. Certainly another candidate as well is most valuable Oriole Jonathan Scope, coming off an all-star season, really a breakout season in the American League. People finally kind of knew who he was, stepped out under the shadow that Manny Machado was under. So those are probably the two guys that I would look at to say, okay, maybe we can't expect them to be as good as they were last season. In terms of a guy who could potentially step up, closer Zach Britton was hurt for most of the year, and I think that, you know, if he's healthy and he's firing well, that certainly could be a strength again. He's a guy who, again, is approaching free agency. No one's really sure what's going to happen with him. We know how up and down bullpens and relievers can be, but Zach Britton was the best in baseball 2 years ago. So I think if you're looking at guys who could potentially bounce back, he's certainly one. Chris Davis over at first base is another glaring hole, something that when they signed him to a record deal, they felt like they would be able to get much better offensive production out of him. He's a guy who goes into this offseason very frustrated and certainly with a chip on his shoulder to rebound.
Yeah, absolutely. Great points there. Britton and Davis, two guys that if they get back to being their normal selves, makes the O's that much more dangerous heading into 2018. Brittany, as we come down the home stretch here, give me a guy that, in your eyes, is a big question mark with regards to just overall health concerns or injury issues. Who's that one guy, maybe two, that you envision?
Well, certainly Britton's a concern because he had a bunch of issues, wasn't really able to stay on the field. So he's probably the biggest concern, I think, injury-wise. Otherwise, you know, they were a pretty durable bunch. They weren't kind of crushed by injuries that they were in seasons past. Most of the other guys just weren't able to perform, and they're losing a lot of pitching, even though that wasn't good pitching. So Britton's probably the guy that needs to stay healthy the most. Other than that, they've been fairly lucky position player-wise in terms of guys being able to stay on the field. Hardy would be a good one, except he's gone. They're not going to pick up his option. So really, I think they're in okay shape for the most part when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah, like you said, they were one of the more durable, healthy teams in 2017. You hope that that sustains in 2018 because, sometimes good health 1 year leads to some regression, I guess, for lack of a better term, in the health department the following year. Hopefully, the Orioles avoid that and they stay as healthy as they were this past year for sure. So, Brittany, to wrap up here, I think that when you look at the Orioles or any of the other 29 teams in baseball, you can kind of categorize them one of five ways. You get your teams that are clearly in the rebuilding phase, teams that are simply non-contenders, and then as you work your way up that ladder, so to speak, teams contending for wild cards, teams contending for division crowns, and then teams competing for that ultimate prize of a world championship. So of those five groups, where do the Orioles fall right now?
Well, I think they're going to have to be in win-now mode because, like I mentioned, they've got so many guys they could be losing. You know, Machado, Britton, Jones, Showalter, Duquette, they really aren't in that rebuild mode. And we all felt like last year around the trade deadline, maybe they would go into that mode. They made it clear they weren't going to. Now they almost have to see this thing through, see where they're at, let the pieces fall where they may. I don't think that they're built to be a World Series team, but I think they're kind of looking at it like, hey, maybe we can sneak into the postseason and kind of upset some things and make a decent run here.
Yeah, I think, like you said, that's the plan, because with those expiring contracts coming up, if you don't go for it now, you don't quite know when the next time you'll be able to go for it. So this could be kind of that make-or-break season for the Orioles with that core that they have in place. It's going to be very interesting to see where they are at the trade deadline and how that affects what they do in terms of bringing guys in or letting guys go. It's going to be a very interesting season at Camden Yards for sure. Brittany Giroli, we appreciate the knowledge and insight as always. We'll do it again next week. In the meantime, it's Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Baltimore Orioles.